My grandfather was a preacher, a Methodist preacher. You know, back in the day, if you had any preacher in your town, that's who you were. You know, all the Presbyterians and Methodists, everybody. If you had a church where they pastor, everybody became that. Because you didn't have the luxury of choosing, you know, back then. And so my grandfather was a Methodist pastor. My father was a Methodist pastor. And so through those generations, you know, there is a blessing. And one of the blessings, even when I was a young man, I wasn't really a Christian. I was an adherent to Christianity. I love the songs, and I grew up feeling God in the whole experience, even at the Methodist church, you know, singing in the choir. But I would always love it when it was Communion Sunday, because that was like, that was the Sunday I was going to get some juice to start off with. But more than that, it was like you knew something about that day was super special. And even as a boy, and so even now, it marked my life. I can still remember enjoying, like, oh, this is the Sunday we celebrate. And it really, even now, when I think about having communion, I sometimes think, you know, the Catholics have some wonderful things right. And I don't like to criticize anybody. How about you? But you know, when we think about communion, and the word, of course, I always say this, but the word means common union. It's what we have in common. All of us have to have this moment at the cross. All of us need Jesus. If you need Jesus, wave your hand at me. That's what we have in common. Baptist, Methodist, black people, white people, green people, young people, old people. We have all this in common that we come, that they say the ground around the cross is level because everybody needs him. We all needed a Savior. We all need Jesus. We all need his word. We all need his presence. Just like we're probably all going to lunch after church and eating a natural meal, we all need a spiritual meal. We all need that connection with Jesus. And when we think about communion, I just want to give you a little perspective today about the power of communion, because the communion is the full revelation of Passover. The whole idea, you know, Jesus actually was crucified on Passover. He was the lamb that was slain. He was crucified during the holiday of Passover. It is an incredible historical fact that he came at the right time and he was crucified at the right time on Passover. That they were all there in the city celebrating Passover, because Passover is what? Some of you don't know. Like, if you're new, you're like, what is Passover? Well, Passover was when the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh was oppressing them. If you don't know the Bible, remember the movie. Some of you know the movie, but they were oppressing the children of Israel 400 years, and they began to cry out to God. And you know, Moses was raised in the family of Pharaoh. Then he committed murder, and when he saw an Egyptian killing an Israel or beating an Israel, he killed that guy. He found out he was in trouble and ran for his life for 40 years. He was in the desert. God called him and said, "You got to go back and set the people free. Go back, tell the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh, set my people free." And they were the labor force for all those pyramids and all that you see in Egypt. This was a massive, millions of people just labor force. They were like a gigantic tractor for Pharaoh. Everything he wanted to build, he had this labor force. So the chances of Pharaoh just saying okay was very slim. So as you know, he goes to Pharaoh. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Okay, God has a message for you, Pharaoh." He said, "What?" He said, "Let my people go, that they can worship me." And he said, "Not going to do it." He said, "Well, you're going to get a plague." And you know, he got plagues and plagues and plagues. And on the seventh plague, God went to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh kept changing his mind. Pharaoh reminds me of a lot of people. Things go bad, they serve God, then they change their mind. Things start going bad again, they say, "I want to serve God," then they change their mind again. But when it came to the last plague, God said, "This is the one that's going to change everything, because I'm going to take the firstborn of everything in Egypt." And so God wanted, but of course in Egypt, the children of Israel were living there in Egypt. And so God was going to send an angel of death into the city to execute his judgment. And the firstborn of everything was going to die. But he wanted to protect the children of Israel. He wanted that spirit of death or that angel of death to pass over them. So we begin to reveal this mystery of grace, that the angel of death doesn't pass over us because we're so good, because we're so awesome. It was because of the blood of the Lamb. And so he told them, he gave them this idea. He said, I want to, you're not going to understand what I'm doing, but I want everybody to participate with what's going to happen. So I want the head of every house to get the family together. And when the family would get together, he said, take a perfect lamb, and I want you to kill the lamb, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put it in a basin, and I want you to take some hyssop, and I want you to apply it over the doorpost, boom, boom, and over the lintels. And if you can, the doorposts are here and the lintels, so you can see the cross, right? He said, and when they see the blood, the death, the angel of death will pass over you. They call that the Passover. And so they've got the family together, and they begin to take that blood, and they kill that lamb, and they put that blood in a basin. And we see a great powerful truth in that hyssop, because this has to do with a confession of the blood. Hyssop was like the tongue. It was like the blood was shed, but you have to apply it over your life and over your family. And that's what would happen to that family. Then they would take the rest of the lamb, and they would roast it with fire. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but it's a great message. They would roast it, and they would eat it with bitter herbs, reminding them of the sorrow that they've gone through, that it was not unemotional. You know, if you take something bitter, even if you were just having a good day, you take something bitter, it gets a little bit. So they would give them herbs to remind them that this is expensive, that this is not something that's cheap, that's something you can just go through the motions of it. He said, I want you to feel this. I want you to feel it. I want you to understand that this is not free. But it comes from weeping and difficulty, that what you're receiving was not cheap. And he said, then take the end of the lamb, and I want you to roast it, eat the whole thing. Don't leave anything. And whatever's left, I want you to burn it. He said, and while you eat it, I want you to eat it with your belt on and your shoes on and your bags packed. Because he was letting them know that this right here is about to take you from where you are and bring you somewhere else. This, what you're about to experience, is about to take. Don't sit there with your shoes off and your pants undone and watching the TV. He said, I want you to understand this is not some kind of symbolic deal. This is about to take you out of where you are. It's about to bring you to where you're going. It's about to take you out of bondage. Come on, it's going to be a breakthrough for you. It's going to bring you into something else. It's real. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he is fulfilling Passover, and he is the Lamb. And so to hear what Jesus had to say of it is extremely powerful. In our modern interpretation of communion is the mass. You know, the word mass in the Catholic Church means a mass gathering, a large meeting, not just a small meeting, a large meeting. The mass is where they celebrate the Eucharist, or they celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they do it in every service. They always have a mass, even at a wedding or a funeral, they'll have a mass. They call it because they're always celebrating this. And sometimes I think, you know what, they might be right. Because it's important for us to do more than just hear. We need to receive. Right? Sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, we don't really do communion that much. But listen, it's a big deal to Jesus because it's the only service he left us with. It would be what we would call, you know, the Catholics call it a mass or the celebrating the Eucharist. What do we call it? We call it a service. We come to church on Sunday. And we're celebrating Jesus, right? We're celebrating the offering he made. And so that's where we are today. This is, in essence, a mass where we're going to have communion. We're going to have this that we have in common. We're celebrating what's real, what's at the core of our life, what's the most important thing. You know, in my family, I have five children and grandchildren, and I have my wife of 41 years. Woo! And as much of a, you know, all the details and issues of running a house and a life, but you know what? What's at the core of that is the relationship that we have. I can't ever neglect the relationship I have with my wife because it's the core of everything that's in my family. I have to, that love has to be strong. That love has to be alive. I have to take care of that. I have to have a connection, a communion. I have to have that, that has to be real, because the rest of the family is kind of gleaning off of that relationship. And in our walk with God, everything that we do in Christianity is built around this one thing. We were lost and broken and undone, and Jesus gave his life for us. And when we received him, everything changed. I mean, nothing ever gets any better than that, right? Sometimes people forget how wonderful the good news, the gospel is just this. You goofed up your own life with your own selfishness, and Jesus paid the price for what you did so that you could have his life. He received what you deserved so that you could receive what he deserved. Does anybody think that's worth celebrating? You get to go to heaven. You get to have an abundant life. He qualified you by his blood for everything that God promised in the Bible. We cannot celebrate that enough. We worship, we come to service. This is what we, our communion. We come to a service and we give and we receive a rhema word for the week. We receive from God. We take that in. That is, in essence, a communion. And Jesus, you know, in the Jewish world, they had a holiday. Like we have the Strawberry Fest, they had Passover. It was a once a year holiday where they celebrated being set free from Pharaoh's tyranny. And they would, every year they would remember the blood of the lamb and the Passover. And they would celebrate that experience of how God took them out of Pharaoh's bondage and brought them into the promised land. And for us, we celebrate this moment when we have communion. We celebrate the moment that the blood of Jesus took us out of the bondage of sin and Satan and Pharaoh and brought us into the land of the living, the land of his promise. I don't know about you, I'm super happy about it. And I can't get enough, just like I can't get enough of my wife, I can't get enough of Jesus. I celebrate it because it's what matters. There's a lot of teachings you can receive, but the most important teaching is the one of what Jesus did on the cross, how he died, how he was buried, and how he rose from the dead. And we are living today because of what Jesus did. It's the greatest story ever told. Now, we think of it was once a year, and we think of service as once a week on Sundays. We kind of made it, well, I need that once a week. But you know, Jesus said it this way. He said, as often as you need it, do this, remember me. In other words, remember what's important. Remember, he said he didn't make a law that you have to do this a certain amount of time. He said, whenever you need it, just have it. As often as you need it. And so I want to interpret that as, how many of you need Jesus every day? I don't need it just a once a week Jesus. I need the everyday Jesus. How about you? I need to get up and have Jesus every day. I need a church service. I need communion. I need to hear from God every single day of my life. I want to celebrate Jesus. John 6, 47 through 57. I'm going to do a little bit of exhortation from this scripture, because I want you to hear what Jesus said about the heart of Passover, the heart of communion. And these are seven little things I want you to remember about the power of communion. We're going to receive it. Number one, communion is celebrating and activating what we believe. John 6, 47, 57, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Say it with me. Say, he who believes in me has everlasting life. In other words, this is not about crackers and juice. This is about celebrating one single truth. Because we have released our faith, we have everlasting life. Say it with me. Say, because we have released our faith in Jesus, we have everlasting life. So the first powerful truth is this. This is not some kind of superstition. This is a celebrating and an activating of what we believe. It's an activating of what we believe. In other words, it needs to be celebrated. Come on, somebody. Wave at me a little bit. Help me. Preach with me a little bit. It needs to be celebrated. I don't have to celebrate my wife, but I want to celebrate that marriage. Yes, it was 41 years ago, but it's still alive today, and I'm going to celebrate that relationship. Are you with me? I want that to be new, and I want to activate that relationship. There's a power that happened when you gave your life to Christ. That's a power that kind of settles down if you don't activate it. It's like your car. It needs to be washed off every now and then. It needs to be fueled up every now and then. It needs an oil change. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, you've got to just say, you know what? It's time to bring this dude in and get this work done. I need to refresh myself. I need to restore who I am in Christ. And you can do it every day, and you should. A daily discipline. Then number two, Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Number two, communion is eternal manna. Is it not just manna, but Jesus likened it to manna. And I want you to see the revelation that's here in that, because it is the practical side of life in Christ. How did you get manna? Well, manna, some of you may not know, but they were in the wilderness and they got mad because they didn't have any food to eat. And they were like, what's up? And God sent them manna. It would be like when they wake up in the morning, there was like white little things all over the grass and stuff. And they'd have to go out and gather it. And then they would make manna bread. Banana bread, someone said. They would make manna gumbo. They would make manna sandwiches. You know, it was something that for some people it could get old, but for them it was intended to be the most wonderful thing. And some people get bored with Jesus. I don't want any more Jesus. I want something else. Watching too much TV will make you tired of Jesus and hungry for the world. But manna, you'd have to get up in the morning because it was fresh every morning. This is an indication. It's a discipline. It's out there, but you got to go get it. There's a worship service for you every day. But you got to get up in the morning and say, you know what? This is not a drudgery. This is not even a discipline. This is delight. This morning, I got to go get my manna. And you'd have to get the manna and you'd have to prepare it. What is communion? It's not just a church service. It's your relationship with Jesus. It means it's no better than your morning. And you got to go gather or you're going to go hungry. I don't want to have to do it. Well, then you're going to, you know, I don't meet very many people. You know, it gets 12 o'clock here in a few minutes. Some of you will be like, yeah, he needs to be quiet. Appreciate the word of God and everything else, but I'm hungry. It's an automatic response. Most people ain't going to miss a meal. By the way, this lovely couple right here is their anniversary today. Let's give them a shout. Number 1 year anniversary. They're in church. Awesome. Beautiful. You see what I'm saying? They would gather it. And listen, what else about manna? You couldn't store it up. Yesterday's word is not good for today. What you heard from God yesterday, what you read in the word yesterday, it doesn't really keep in a sense. It always keeps. But for you, you need something every day. You need a fresh revelation from God. Communion is not just crackers and juice. It's a revelation of what Jesus did. And every day he has a mercy, a revelation for you. So we don't look at it as a discipline or a drudgery that we have to. It's every morning. Your life is no better than your morning. Every morning you say, you know what? I'm putting God first. The rest of my day is blessed. And I'm not just going to read the Bible. I'm going to get some manna today, and I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to find out what God is saying. My job is to help you learn how to do that, and I'm doing my best. But first of all, you got to decide. They say you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. God gave you his word, but you've got to prepare it. You got to open it up. You got to find what God is saying to you today, and you got to live according to that revelation from God. That is Jesus in you. It requires effort to gather and prepare. They called it manna. The word means, what is it? What is it? You know what? When you go to work, they say, what is it about Paul? What is it about when you've had your daily manna? Come on, somebody. What is it? What is it about that guy? What is it about that girl? I don't know what it is. And you're like, it was the breakfast of champions. You miss the breakfast of champions, you're a dud that day. But the idea when you've had the breakfast of champions, you've had that life infusion, you've had that moment, you've had that encounter with God in the morning, man, it has marked your day, and everybody doesn't know what it is, but there's something about you, it's something about, must have been something you ate, must have been something you experienced, but there's something about you that makes them want to get around you. People don't necessarily want to be around Christians, but they do want to be around Christians who had their manna, because there's something about you when you've been with Jesus. Keep reading. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Number three, communion is receiving Jesus into your everyday life. Jesus in the flesh. Communion. See, when you're eating this, it's Jesus living in you. To understand when Jesus said, "This is my flesh," what does he mean? Jesus wants to be in the flesh and blood world, and he wants to live in the flesh and blood world, and he wants to live in the flesh and blood world through you. He's got to get him in you. That's why we eat it. You are what you eat. You got 10 hours of watching TV, 14 hours on Facebook. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Just finding out what other people are doing. That can bum you out. And you got 20 minutes in God's Word. Oops. Right? It's powerful, but you need to understand that people want to be connected to that. Jesus wants to live in your real life. That's why we're receiving Jesus, not just into our spirit. We're receiving Jesus into our flesh and blood life. Every day, we want to walk like Jesus. Every day, we want to talk like Jesus. We want to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. We want to raise the dead. We want to cast out devils. All of the things that Jesus said that we could be, it all comes down to your communion, because to be Jesus, you have to eat Jesus. On your own, you're not quite Jesus. Even though you received them, there was a single Passover, but then there's a Passover we celebrate every day. There was a single marriage, but there's a marriage I celebrate every day. It never gets old because I keep it alive. And Jesus never wanted Christianity to be old, dead, musty, dusty religion. He wanted to be something fresh bread. What's better than fresh bread? You can look at my belly and see I'm totally committed to what I'm saying today. When people say bread's from the devil or it's bad or it's carbs, I'm like, Jesus is the bread. Excuse me. I'll be having some bread because I'm just going to get scripture on you. I'm going to get Holy Spirit scripture on you. And Jesus said salt is good. When the doctor said you can have salt, oh, excuse me. Salt and bread, that's in the Bible, and I'm going to be eating it. But I don't know. When those people that bring you the bread before the meal and butter, you know you're not even going to eat that meal because you just bring me some more bread, please. So bread is this symbol. It's this idea of sustaining life. Communion is receiving Jesus into your everyday life. You need Jesus tomorrow. You need Jesus on Friday. You need Jesus on Tuesday. You need Jesus on Wednesday night. You need Jesus in your life. And the only way to get him is to receive him. Lazy people don't have Jesus every day. They might get him on Sunday, but he's kind of dull by Tuesday. Come on, somebody. You got to have Jesus every day. You don't have to. He offers this to you. He wants to live in your everyday life. Keep reading. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Number four, communion is receiving the God kind of life. He said, if you don't do this, and he's talking to Christians, he said, if you don't have this time, if you don't have this warm, connected relationship, now don't get all condemned. I'm giving you an opportunity. You don't have to take it. You want to be a boring Christian, go for it. If you want to be like religious and you want to do a bunch of things, but you're not doing them, And then you get what I'm saying? If you want to have a lifeless Christianity, that's your choice. I gave my life to Christ. Well, that's awesome. Are you having communion? The Bible said, may the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. It means the koinonia. It means the close fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'm not condemning you. I'm offering you an opportunity. God will never make you have a great relationship with Him. This is going to tell Him who you are. If you're willing to settle for a lifeless relationship with God, in title only, just like your marriage, if you want a marriage that's just in title only, that don't work at it. Be mean, be stubborn, and you'll have a lifeless marriage. You'll be married, but there'll be no life in it. Do you want that relationship with Jesus? Well, I can't change that. You can come to church and feel good on Monday, but by Tuesday, you better be getting some communion going. It's between you and Jesus, because that's how you win this race. Not coming to church on Sundays, but having communion Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every morning you get up and say, this is my life. And he said, if you don't do it, you have no life. Now there he's talking about the word Zoe is the Greek word there. It means God life. There's human life, and then there's God life. It has to do with a force. And all of you know what it's like. It's like having a spiritual Red Bull. Come on, somebody. Zoe is what you get when you have communion. You can be down, you can be depressed, you can be discouraged, you can feel bad, you can feel tired. You have a communion with God. That's where the Zoe is. It's not back 20 years when you received Jesus. It's 20 minutes ago. It's tomorrow morning. It's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Are you with me? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, he said. He said, in other words, Zoe, forever. You're not in heaven yet. But you can live like you're in heaven because you can always have communion. You can always have the Holy Spirit connection in your life. You can get a word from God every day. It's up to you. And I will raise him up in the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Say that with me. Say my flesh is food indeed. Say it with me. And my blood is drink indeed. Now what is he saying? He's saying this is not phony religion. He's saying this is not some kind of religious exercise. He's saying this is not symbolism. You know, brother, you know, we have communion. We have, you know, it's all these symbols. It's not merely a symbol. It's a dynamic moment with the life of God. Listen to me. You are right now qualifying for either a cracker and some juice or a dynamic encounter with the power of God. It's not drink. He said it's not just juice. It's something that's indeed. It's something that's real is what he's saying. Communion is not symbolic. It's real. It's dynamic. It's life-changing. It's powerful. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we read this a lot. He said that some are sick and some are even dead because you didn't rightly discern the body of Christ. In other words, you were so dull, you thought this was just crackers and juice. And instead of being healed, some of you are sick. Instead of being alive, some of you are even dead. And what does he say? You better wake up because this is your moment. I don't know if there's sickness in your body, but if there is, communion has the power, Zoe power, to take whatever it is. When you eat that, the flesh of Jesus, when you eat his body was broken so your body could be healed. But for you, it just might be a cracker. His blood was shed so that you could have a supernatural life. For you, it might just be juice. But he said, my flesh is food indeed, and my drink, my blood is drink indeed. Number 6, I'm almost finished. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, listen, abides. That means resides in me and I in him. He's saying this is what communion is. Communion is, here's how it's going to work out. You're going to always be in me, and I'm going to always be in you. He didn't say that because you prayed 3 years ago and gave your life to Christ. He said if you had communion, if you're continually doing this thing, if this is continually your source of life, he said this is the outcome. You're going to continually be living in me, and I'm going to continually be living in you. Communion is the discipline of continually living free in Jesus. I can tell you people that are not receiving God's word, they're giving into their old habits. And you say, well, I don't know why I can't live free. You can, but you got to get some communion going. You know, one of the most powerful teen challenges, one of the most powerful rehab, they have an 80 to 90% success rate. Higher than any of the drug programs, higher than any of the psychological programs. You know what they use? God's word every day. These ex-drug addicts, they repent of their sin. They get into a room. They start memorizing scripture. They get up and they sing about Jesus. They pray about Jesus. They walk and talk Jesus. And suddenly what they used to be doesn't exist. And they become a new creation, not because of psychology, but because of Jesus' life gets inside of them continually. It's an amazing statistic. Check it out. You want to live free from your old self? You need to have communion. It's up to you. I can't make you. This is your decision. As the Father sent me, keep reading, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a second. He said, just as the Father sent me, this is what it's like when you take communion. I'm living in you. Listen to that. Just like the Father sent me, this is what communion empowers you for. I want you to read this again, Exodus 12. I alluded to it, and I'm giving you one more point, and we're going to receive communion. Exodus 12, 11. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, this is making you ready to go. Let's hook it up. In other words, you were one person before you had communion, but you better put on your shoes. You're about to become somebody. You're going to become that person that you used to love, that person you used to admire, not that boring Christian who just wants to get through church and do their obligation. But you better get some anticipation, because when you come into communion, you're about to become a world changer. Jesus said, just like I was sent by the Father, I'm sending you. When you get communion, you become Jesus in the world. Last point is this. Communion is being sent out together to touch a hurting world. Communion is being sent out together to touch a hurting world. Isn't it interesting that the Bible calls us the body of Christ? Isn't it interesting that they can't get any bread if they don't get it from you? You are the bread. You become, through communion, you become the bread. You become that encouraging word at work. You become that hug to the person that's going through a horrible time. You become that encouraging word of freedom. You don't do it on your own. You just live to yourself. But when you've had communion, you become sent. Like the Father sent Jesus, you said, you know what? Bam, not only am I getting out of the funk I've been in, I'm about to step into a life where I'm a world changer. I'm a life giver. All that Jesus put in me, I become an authorized distributor of that life. Let me give you a hint, and we're going to, you know how pastors talk, and I thought you said we're almost ready. We're almost ready, for real. But here's the secret about Christianity. You only get to keep what you give away. Here's the secret about communion. You only get to keep. Some people are like, I can't even remember. I read the Bible. You know what? You can't remember it? Because you didn't give it to anybody. If you go to work and say, I can't quite remember it, but I want to give you this, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son into the world that through him they might have life. Now, how did I remember that? I've given it away 1,000 times. I get to keep it. You only get to keep. See, if Jesus didn't put this little tag on it, you would think it's just about you being more awesome. Awesome is not what you get only. Awesome is what you give away. And even as the Father sent Jesus, communion is your moment to get back ready to be sent. Put on your belt. Put on your shoes. You're going to stop living for yourself, and you're about to become a life giver. The power of communion, being sent out together. We are his hands. If Jesus is going to touch someone, look at your hands. He's going to touch someone through these hands. We are his feet. If Jesus is going to reach your generation, it's not because they came to church, it's because you went to them. Look at those feet. Those are the only feet that are winning the lost. We are his mouth. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can they tell someone unless they be sent? In other words, you are God's plan. I know you think, man, God didn't have a very good plan. That's what's supernatural about it. If you would connect to him, you're going to become something you never could be without him. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his heart. We are his eyes. Instead of looking through people, you can look into people. Instead of looking at people at what they can give you, you start looking at people according to what they need. This is the result of communion. You're not a bad person because you avoid people and you're living to yourself. I'm not criticizing you. It's not that you're a bad person. You're just like anybody else without communion. When you've had a moment with God, you get to be the... It's like Popeye when he ate that spinach, right? Bam, boom, bam. When you have that communion, suddenly you get to be that person you always wanted to be. You get to... The more consistent you are. And this is our moment. I wanted to remind you today. We'll celebrate his flesh that was broken so that we can be healed. We will celebrate his blood that paid for our sin and made a new and living way into the presence of God and qualified us for all the promises. But we will also celebrate the resurrection, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. You are the body of Christ. You represent his resurrection. You are the evidence that Jesus is alive. You're the only Jesus some people may ever see. You might work at a gas station, but somebody needs to see Jesus. You might work at a school, but somebody needs to see the real Jesus, not the, I'm bummed out, I need a breakthrough, I'm struggling right now. They don't need that guy. They already are that guy. They need the one that's been in communion with Jesus and that has a word, that has an anointing, that has a touch, that has an unction, that has a momentum. And you don't have to struggle and say, I need to be that. You just need to receive it. You got one decision to make. I want to be in communion. You are the evidence that Jesus is alive. Now, the ushers are going to come forward, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to stand in a moment, and we're going to be worshiping. You're going to pass to your left, and starting with the front row all the way to the back. You're going to go to your left, and then you're going to come back around, okay? So if you don't mind, stand up with me so everybody, but don't take these elements, and we're going to take them together, okay? And they're going to be leading some worship while we go. Yes, Jesus. You don't take the bread with me. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread, and he gave it thanks, he broke it. Said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Today, when you receive the bread, fresh and new, you are receiving Jesus. Not Jesus that was just in heaven, or Jesus that's all around us, but the Jesus that lives inside us. That you're receiving Jesus into your everyday life. That you're receiving his mission, his brokenness, His health, His healing, His purpose, His life. You're receiving it. You know, that's how this covenant works. You just have to release your faith and say, I receive it. You don't have to change up all your goof-ups. You just receive change. Today, Jesus is going to be inside of you. You are receiving it. Now, I'm going to pray, and I want you to just release your faith, because all that's in your life that you don't like is about to be absorbed. Matter of fact, just pray it with me right now. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I renounce all the works of darkness. Every habit, every word that doesn't please you, I renounce it. What I've seen, what I've read, all the contamination that's on the TV, I renounce it. And I renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his darkness in Jesus' name. And I receive the life of Jesus. That life, that impulse, that compassion lives in me. I declare as I receive this bread, even though I don't always feel like it, I am his hands. I am his feet. I am his voice. I am his eyes. I am his arms in this world. I receive my piece of Jesus. I'm a piece of Jesus. Bless this bread. It is your flesh. It's your life. It's your word in this world. I release my faith as I receive your body into my body. In Jesus' name. Receive Jesus. My body is food indeed. Change. Change. Change the way you feel. Change the way you think. Change what you desire. Change the things in your mind and your language. Change comes from the body of Christ. Jesus living in us. I receive. Come on, just whisper, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. The Bible said after supper he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant. My blood that was shed for you. Drink it. And when you do, remember me. The Amplified says, call me fondly back to your remembrance. Remember. This life cost him his death. This life cost his life. He traded it. And the Bible says in Leviticus that the life of a thing is in its blood. But listen to me. That's why in the Old Testament, they forbid, in Leviticus, they forbid to drink the blood of an ox or the blood of an animal of any kind, because the thought was that the nature of a thing is in its blood. And not only did the blood of Jesus pay for our sins and cancel them on the cross, not only did the blood of Jesus break every curse against our family and our lives, but the blood of Jesus absorbed our old nature and he made us participants in the new nature. That as we receive the blood of Jesus, we're not only receiving eternal life, but we're receiving that your old flawed nature of Adam is being absorbed by the blood of Jesus. We are not just receiving his blood, we're receiving what's in his blood. It's his nature. The nature of love, the nature of purity and kindness and goodness and forgiveness. So right now, before we receive it, I want you to let go of any person that you have been bitter and angry against. Just make an altar right here and say, I don't care if it's an ex-husband, an ex-friend, an ex-whatever, some enemy, someone who hurts you, took something from you. It's an insult to receive this kind of forgiveness and then hold unforgiveness. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive them, I just can't forgive you. So communion only, it's a participant. You have to participate in this new nature. The new nature, the old nature is to hold grudges and to be angry and to be hurt and to be contaminated. But the new nature is to be loving and forgiving. Today, when you receive the blood of Jesus, there's healing in your emotions. The hurt leaves your life. The pain, the feeling that you got to pay somebody back, it leaves your life. You're receiving the new nature. Come on, say it with me. Say, as I receive the blood of Jesus, I declare by the blood of Jesus, I've been delivered from all the power of the enemy. I confess, because of the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven. Come on, say it with me. Say, as I walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing me from all sin. By the blood of Jesus, I am justified. When he looks at me, it's just as if I'd never sinned. By the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified for my purpose. By the blood of Jesus, the old nature of Adam, his failure, his weakness, his stubbornness, his rebellion is all absorbed by this new nature. And when I drink it, it's his blood I'm receiving. It's not just covering my home. It's covering everything inside of me and everything around me. And I declare, where the blood of Jesus is, there's a commanded blessing on my health, on my relationships, on my friendships. The blood of Jesus paid for all of it. Father, bless this cup. Let it be Zoe life to us. We release our faith and we receive your power to change everything that needs to be changed. Bless it for us as we receive it.